Welcome to Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. I am Joe Galina.
Acknowledge me.
And as always, I'm joined by my buddy Scott Chu. Scott, what's going on? How are you today?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. I'm just taking it all in and reminding everybody everywhere at all times that we have no data. Right. Mm-hmm. Like let's just start this podcast off by saying that by the end of today, I just tweeted this, but by the end of today, one non-Dodger or Padre will have 50 plate appearances.
Yeah.
One. Yep. Exactly one. And 50 plate appearances is the smallest sample we use for any kind of analysis and only for basically strikeout rate and walk rate. Yeah. That's it.
So stop panicking, right? Stop panicking.
It is somewhat meaningful for strikeouts and walks, but not like this is what it's going to be forever. That's not really what stabilization points mean, but just that like it does mean something. Like it is a sample. We don't have samples for anything else.
Right.
All we can say is that number is really high or that number is really low. And in 2 days, it might be different.
Right. Yeah. You're going to get someone who could be batting 180 now. And by the end of this week, could be batting 300. You know, there's just so few at bats and stats are moving that quickly. And but I should tell everyone we're recording this on Sunday, April 7th, 11:35 a.m. Eastern time. Scott, it's WrestleMania weekend. So keep that in mind. Yeah, WrestleMania 40. And The Rock is back. Yeah, The Rock is back. So it's over two nights now. So I watched a bunch of last night, you know, and I'm looking forward to watching tonight. You're not really into wrestling anymore, right?
No, there was a time when I was growing up was like the heyday of like WCW and it was still the
Monday
WWF.
Night Wars, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was peak. Right. And I know some names like Rey Mysterio Jr. I remember that name.
Sure. Yeah. He's been battling his son over the past year. And, the big guy now, that's just, the WWE champ because it's not WWF anymore, but he's been champ for, I don't know, 3+ years is Roman Reigns. So, So what I do is, I record, you know, the Monday night show and the Friday night show on my DVR. And then I skip through to stuff that interests me. So, talking about panic and not panicking, we had a natural disaster here. In the New York area, we had a 4.8 magnitude earthquake on Friday. So, and a few aftershocks after that. And then you talk panic, you know, that people were in a panic because, you know, here in the Northeast, we're not used to getting these earthquakes. But that's panic, right? Having a guy that you did all your research with all preseason and seeing that maybe you want to drop this person because they're batting 220. That's panic. That's overdoing it, you know. Panicking over an earthquake is understandable. Panicking over someone who's batting 200 to start the season after 30 plate appearances, that's a little overblown.
More importantly, it's panicking over something you've never experienced versus something we've seen a bunch of times.
Very good. Very good point. Yes.
We've seen baseball players have bad 30 plate appearances. Basically, every baseball player who has ever played has been really good for 30 plate appearances and really bad for 30 plate appearances. Like if you've got like 1,000 plate appearances in Major League Baseball, you have these stretches. They exist.
Sure.
Right. But we could maybe be interested in stuff we haven't seen yet. But we don't have a lot of that right now. Like a lot of guys are kind of doing what they thought, like that we knew was within their range of outcomes. Like Ellie De La Cruz has a 40-something% strikeout rate. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. And I'm not saying that's good, but like, did he do this for 30 plate appearances at a time last year? Yes, he absolutely did. Right. Like it's not new. Right. Same for guys who were hitting well, right? Like Orlando Arcia. Yeah. I keep getting, is this something new? No. He's been good before, especially because he's played three lefties, mm-hmm. right? So some players have seen an inordinate number of lefties or righties. So we get a weird sense early on of like, is this guy, you know, this guy looks like he's never playing. Well, maybe he's in a platoon and they've seen three or four lefties, right? Some teams have seen a bunch. Some teams have seen almost none. Orlando Arcia, for example, has a 76 WRC plus against right-handed hit or right-handed pitchers, right? He is terrible mm-hmm. against righties, but he's quite good against lefties, like mm-hmm. a 120 something WRC yeah. plus. So why is Orlando Arcia have these great numbers right now? Well, probably because half the pitchers he's seen, or at least for starters, are lefties. He's gotten right. a bunch of looks against lefties. That tips the scale one way. Over the course of a season, it's not going to look like that. But for small stretches when he faces lots of lefties, yeah, Orlando Arcia can be exactly like this. Mm-hmm. Right? It is not something new. It's not something we haven't experienced.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned Eli De La Cruz. I was going to mention him later because I was looking at some of your opening comments that you wrote on the Reddit AMA that you moderate every Friday. And you talked about Eli De La Cruz and people were asking you about him. And he's so strange because the guy has a 6-game hitting streak, right? I think he's batting .258 right now. But like you said, has a K rate of over 40%, walk rate in the 3% range. The thing is, I early on in the preseason, you know, when his ADP was inflated, you know, I wasn't kind of touching him. And then as we got closer to the start of the season, I was kind of warming up to him. I still don't have any of, I don't roster him on any of my teams, but I would have. I got sniped once or twice. But you do look at what he did to close last season, and we could just talk about it for a couple minutes, right? In his last 66 games, 197 batting average, 645 OPS, had a 35.6% K rate. And, you know, I tried to put myself in your shoes, and I looked at the graph, and I saw that, you know, like, overall his strikeout rate kind of did dip. Right over the end of last season, I mean, it was as high as 44%, then it got as low as 25%. But like I said, it was in the mid-30s by the end of the season. But we do, I think we have to take note of, strikeouts have been part of his game. If you look at his minor league career, right? I mean, he's had, you know, seasons where he's had 30% K rates. So is this who he is? And it's weird because the guy has a 6-game hitting streak to talk about him like this.
Yeah, I mean, he has elite athleticism, right? Yeah. Like, he's trying to put his bat on the ball. He's getting fooled. Well, I don't know if he's getting fooled, but he's making decisions he shouldn't make. What we actually saw using our pitcher list metrics, which is pitch level data. If you're a PL Pro member, you can see all that stuff. But what we actually saw was he actually got less and less aggressive as the season went on. Right, in terms of every pitch. Now, he was still striking out a lot, but you can actually, your strikeout rate isn't necessarily indicative of your aggression, right? Because Gunnar Henderson got way, way more aggressive, but his strikeout rate didn't change because he was able to continue. He was getting really aggressive and making contact. Eli De La Cruz actually has a plus contact ability. Again, the strikeout rate makes you think it doesn't. The thing is, he strikes out at stuff nobody could possibly hit, right? What we need to see is more consistent decision making,
right?
Because if it's anywhere near the zone, Eli De La Cruz can absolutely go and get it, mm-hmm. right? No doubt about it. And he's better at it than many players, but he chooses to swing at stuff that just can't be hit, mm-hmm. right? And he gets himself behind in a lot of counts. That puts a lot of pressure on him to fight things off that he thinks are anywhere close, right? So I think if he can kind of shore up that decision-making, especially early in the count, he might find himself in some better places to hit. I don't need to necessarily see a walk rate go up for him. I think the strikeout rate for him drops by just getting out of, you know, being able to attack when something's not a two-strike count, right? Now, we pitchers know he's aggressive early, and he needs to kind of maybe find some ways to deal with that and get better at some pitch recognition or something. But it has always been part of his game. He's always going to be someone who tries to swing the bat a lot. He is always going to be someone that's not afraid of striking out. You cannot expect him to ever become a 20% strikeout rate guy. What we'd like to see is something at 30% or lower, right? That's kind of the magic number. It's really hard to stay in the major leagues when you're striking out more than 30% of the time. But lots of guys can stay in the majors hovering around that number, either by walking a lot, by making a lot of contact, by having unbelievable power and speed, right? Like Eli De La Cruz. It can happen, but first we got to see that strikeout. That strikeout rate will have to come down if we want to expect any kind of consistency.
Yeah, he is amazing because I saw him yesterday against the Mets on Saturday. He hit a little nubber that, you know, there was no way that the infielder was going to throw him out. He's just so exciting to watch. And like you said, a great athlete. But the strikeouts are, in my opinion, potentially going to be his downfall, but we'll see. I mean, you know, like he's still young and we'll see. And I guess he has the benefit now with so many injuries to Reds players that there's no, I don't think there's much of a chance that they're going to be sending him down anytime soon. But, hey, you know, we're going to get into more fantasy talk, but there's a couple of things I just wanted to mention real quick, almost like sidebars. But Dodgers, right? Dinelson Lamet, remember him? Had his first career save this week, and then they DFA him like 2 days later. So I'm just, you know, we don't have to really delve into that, but it's just like a kind of a something that I just noticed, and I'm like, what the heck are they doing? Also, I want to mention, remember Big Panda? Was that his nickname?
Oh, Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah. He's a Staten Island Ferry Hawk now. So I might be able to get a chance to see him live in a person in a small stadium here on Staten Island. And a guy that I know, one of your favorites, and as soon as I saw this, I thought of you, but Rougned Odor is back. Yes. The Yanks have signed them to a minor league deal. And we'll see. I mean, look, the Yanks infield is pretty banged up, right? They've got DJ LeMahieu out for a while. Oswald Peraza is out for at least 6 to 8 weeks due to a shoulder strain. So Oswaldo Cabrera has been doing really well. Maybe we can talk a little bit about him while we talk a little third base maybe. But, you know, your man, Rougned Odor is back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they decided they didn't want someone good.
Right, yeah.
But, like, since the start of 2020, Rougned Odor has been, I mean, terrible.
Yeah.
It's hard to put it in other words. He hasn't had a WRC plus of 100 since 2016. Mm-hmm. He had some good years after that in terms of, like, fantasy, but he's been a bad hitter for a long time.
I will say that when he was with the Yanks a couple of seasons ago, it was fun watching him in the dugout. Like, he'd be the first guy, you know, greeting someone back after they scored a run. Or he was really, really like a rah-rah kind of guy. So maybe he could be some kind of a, you know, maybe a player coach, not even a player, but maybe just a coach, like a rah-rah kind of guy.
Yeah, and he wears shorts, right? Like, I'm cool with that. Yeah, my issue is not the style or the man, it's the bat.
Right.
That's very good.
And I wonder, you know, the Yanks have this antiquated rule, which I think they should get rid of, where no big leaguer on their roster is allowed to wear a beard. They can wear a mustache, but no beard. So I wonder if that applies to someone in their minor league system. Because I remember when he used to have this huge beard, right? And I remember that when he was traded to the Yanks a few years back, he had to shave off his beard, and his child was so young that I believe he has a daughter, but she didn't recognize him after, you know, he shaved his beard. So I thought that was interesting, but I'm just wondering. But hey, since we're talking Yankee middle infielders, what do you think about Anthony Volpe at this stage? I know it's early. Look, you know, I don't want to say
we can't say, like, statistically we have meaningful stuff because we don't. Doesn't mean we can't have opinions.
Right. So he's hitting the ball harder, cutting down on his strikeouts, walking more, not pulling the ball as much. He said he was going to change his approach in the preseason. He mentioned that. And so far, it's looking pretty good. I don't know. Any opinions on your part?
Yeah, it's an extension of what he did in the spring, mm-hmm. right? The strikeout rate was down, right, in the spring, mm-hmm. which is not super meaningful, but it is nice to see that carry it into the start of this season. Mm-hmm. The walk rate is actually up. Now, I'm not sure how long that'll stick around.
Right.
And yeah, look, the StatCast day will tell you he's been really lucky. But even if you take the luck away, he's been pretty good. He's been better than he was last season, for sure. Right. Already got a home run, already got a steal. I think, you know, what I'd love to see him take, Anthony Volpe, I'd love to see him take that step forward. The top of this lineup. So, like, right now, Gleyber Torres is hitting first. But, man, Volpe could do that.
Yes, he could. Yeah.
He would be great in the leadoff spot for them with mm-hmm. that mix of power and speed. I think if he can keep this up, they might give it a thought. I mean,
I think so.
Torres is a veteran. But like, I think the apex of Anthony Volpe fantasy value comes when he gets a shot at that leadoff spot. Mm-hmm. And one day, right? I think one day that'll happen. It's not today. It's not tomorrow. It's probably not the month of April or probably the month of May. But one day that'll be when we can really say, like, this is how Volpe unlocks the rest of it.
Right, right. So what has everybody in fantasy been talking about lately? You know, it's obviously the injuries, right, that have been happening. And obviously, you know, pitching staffs have been decimated. You know, Spencer Strider going down with UCL damage. He's going to be looking into whether or not, you know, what type of surgery he needs. Who else? Shane Bieber going down. That was a shock, right? We didn't see that guy. The guy, he came off to such a good start. And all of a sudden, you know, we hear that he needs Tommy John surgery. So, you know, who else?
I mean, everybody.
Yeah. Yuri Perez from the Pirates. You know, they were, finally, you know, he was going through some injury concerns in the preseason. Finally, we find out that he needs Tommy John surgery. So there's been a lot of talk. Is it due to the pitch clock? You know, Tony Clark, who heads the MLB Players Union, is complaining. He said, look, you know, you had this pitch clock last season where it was 15 seconds when nobody's on base, 20 seconds when there's a runner on base, and now you changed it. This I didn't even know. Did you know this, Scott, that they changed it to 18 seconds when a player is on base for a pitcher? Pitcher has to make a throw to home plate for 18 seconds now? Did you know that? I didn't. I missed that.
Yeah. I mean, it's what everyone's talking about right now. Like, again, we don't talk a lot about pitching on the show, but I think the only take I can really tell you is if we knew what truly got pitchers hurt at the major league level, teams would be preventing it.
Right.
Right. Like if we really knew the cause, but we don't. We don't, because every arm is different. Right. We know that young players, like little league guys, high school guys, they're having tons of Tommy John because they're all trying to throw 90 miles an hour and spin a bunch of sliders, right? We know that's really bad for young arms. Mm-hmm. We know that, I want to say it was James Andrew who said, like, basically the UCL fully matures at age 26, right? Which is around the time I think they say that young men's frontal lobe fully develops, actually. It's about 26. We need to be about 26, us fellas, to really understand what's going on in the world around us. Speaking for, you know, as someone who is turning 36, I'll tell you that is absolutely true. but, you know, we don't know exactly what it is. All we can do is respond to it. And I think the only wrong way to do it right now is to say, I need to add the one guy right now who will replace the guy I lost. Mm-hmm. Right. I need to add the one guy who can become Spencer Strider. He doesn't exist. Right. But there may be someone who ends up doing that, but we don't know who that is right now. Mm-hmm. Because if we did, number one, we'd all be talking about it. And number two, we'd probably work for a major league baseball organization if we had that kind of insight onto what exactly is going to happen. Right. There, like, you know, you can't really say, like, oh, who's the guy that no one's heard of that's going to break out? Well, we don't know. Right. Because if they're going to break out, we've heard of them. Mm-hmm. Like, do you realize how much media there is in baseball? Like, not just fantasy, but just baseball in general. If a guy's going to break out, we've usually heard of him, right? It's possible that we haven't, right? It does happen here and there, but not in a predictable way. There wasn't always people in the background going, see, we told you. Like, that's not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it can happen, but it doesn't happen often. What you should be doing right now is thinking about, how do I replace the guy lost for a week? Right. You start there. You say,
yeah, start a week at a time. That's smart.
You don't need to have any loyalty to a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, for example, in Chicago, the White Sox, they lost both of their outfielders. Two of their outfielders I cared about. Right. Luis Robert Jr. and Eloy Jimenez hit the 10-day IL. Mm-hmm. I think Robert's probably going to be closer to the minimum amount of time. I think he should be back within like 2 weeks or so. It doesn't sound like his strain's all that bad. I don't exactly know for Eloy. He's got like it's a core. They both sort of have core injuries. Eloy's sounds like it might be a little worse. And he wasn't off to a great start anyway. And he's never played more than 122 games ever.
Yeah. 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 He's a guy that, look, you know, I mean, I actually drafted him in our pitcherless staff league, but I drafted him as a bench spot. So he's a guy that just has been injury prone. So, you know, I guess we have to be a little smarter in our draft strategy.
You did exactly what you were supposed to do. Yeah. You took an injury prone guy towards the end of the draft. He got hurt and you're going to cut him.
Right.
That's okay. Because there was the other reality where he doesn't get hurt and he ends up looking pretty good. Cause this was once.
There's going to be that one season where he plays 120 games, hopefully, you know, when Eloy Jimenez does, he's going to have some pretty good numbers.
This is once one of the best prospects in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Eloy and Lewis Robert were supposed to be the future of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And they still kind of are, but it's less encouraging now.
Yeah.
But so you need to be thinking about like, how am I going to replace him for a week? If you drafted Trevor Story, who quite frankly admitted he may not play for the rest of the season. He dislocated his shoulder. It was bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you saw it, it was bad. It's not good. You need to be thinking like, first of all, you maybe shouldn't have been relying on him as your only shortstop on the roster. Right.
Right.
Because injuries have been a big part of Trevor Story's career.
Right. Recently. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Recently. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 2022, it's been a real struggle for him to stay on the field.
Yep.
So, it's a huge bummer. I wish he was around, but you should, when you drafted a guy like Eloy Jimenez, when you drafted a guy like Trevor Story, it's easy to go back and say on draft day, you probably should have been ready for backup options. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But hindsight's 2020. If that wasn't you, that's okay. Nothing's over yet. It's been a week.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is think, how am I going to replace him today? And what is it that I'm actually replacing? Right. Yes, it's someone at shortstop. But for example, if you had Trevor Story, were you more interested in just the breakout potential in general? Or was it because you needed the extra double digit steals you thought you were going to get?
Right.
Right. Because that's going to change how you approach who to pick up for him. Because you're not necessarily saying, I just need the best shortstop available. You might be if what you were banking on was just the breakout in general. But if you're like, well, I actually kind of needed more of the speed than anything else, that's going to change. Right. If you're just looking out for breakout potential, Jose Caballero is not that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you're like, look, what I really need is the speed until I find someone better to be my shortstop. Well, then Jose Caballero all of a sudden looks a lot more interesting because that's something he can actually do.
Mm-hmm.
He can steal bases, right? He's not going to replace the home runs. He's not going to be someone who I expect to break out and have like, a 2020 season. That's not what Jose Caballero is, but he is someone who could steal bases in the short term and he's someone who's playing. So that's kind of what to be thinking about when you're looking at like, okay, I've lost this guy. What do I do? Well, think about what it is exactly you're replacing. Don't look at the standings, right?
Yep.
Go back to just looking at your roster, looking at your projections and saying, what was the hole, right? If you had Eloy Jimenez on your bench, it was because, well, it might be nice to have a big power guy in the back end. There's plenty of power guys out there you can look at, right? We'll talk about some when we get to the third base stuff because third base is a mess. There's guys out there that can give you back that power, right? Like just think about what is it that I'm missing now that this player's gone?
Yep.
And again, it might just be a position. It might just be like, well, I just need a shortstop, right? I'm in a points league. I don't care how they get the points. I just need a shortstop. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then like that is a different approach than just saying like in a roto league, well, what I really needed was the steals or what I really needed was the power or what I really needed was the ratios. Like if it was one of those things, that completely changes the type of player you're looking for.
Yeah, that good, very good points. And I think we should take our first break here. We've got some players that, we could suggest that, might take the place of you might be able to slip in for a week or so to take the place of a Luis Robert or is it Robert or Robert?
It's Robert. Like, because Robert, there's that, like, you want to say Robert, but it's I remember it because I always wanted to say, like, Luis Robert.
Yeah.
Luis Robert.
Okay. Yeah. And so, we got some guys that we could suggest at the middle infield position, and we'll talk about them right after this. All right, we're back. Hacks and Jacks, Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Joe Galina, you can follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can follow me at Joe Galina. Follow my man Scott Chu at If the Chew Fits. And Scott, it was this past Monday was April Fool's Day, and I saw someone posted, I think it was on X, about one of the best baseball-related April Fool's Day pranks, right? I don't know if you're familiar with Sid Finch.
Oh, yes.
Right? Right?
Where's one combat boot?
Yes. Yeah.
Throws 100 million miles an hour.
Yeah, throws 160 mile per hour. Fastball, doesn't need a warm-up, is practicing Buddha religion and studying yoga in Tibet. A lot of people believe this. This was George Plimpton wrote this article for Sports Illustrated on April 1st, 1985. So the curious case of Sid Finch. Did you get caught in any April Fool's jokes at all this past?
No, I really wanted the Pitcher List After Dark podcast to be real.
Yeah, Justin Mason,
Justin and Danielle.
And Danielle, yes.
I would tune in.
Yes.
I'd be in live, right? I'd be watching that live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And swears. What if we had swears on the network?
There you go.
I mean, once I thought about it, I was like, Nick would never let us swear. But if he did.
Right.
It would be something. I mean, if he did, it would just be a full podcast of swears.
Yes.
All I would do. I would just get a dictionary or like a drunk Englishman and just have it swearing all the time.
He wouldn't join in though, right?
Nick?
Yeah.
I've heard him swear. Uh-huh. He's done it.
After what, a couple of beers? What does it take?
A lot of things had to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll keep this clean for now. For now.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about since we mentioned Luis Robert, a couple of outfielders. I'll throw them out there, and then you tell me what you think, if any, and who might be the best bet for you. But Michael Conforto missed all of 2022. Was it 22? Yes, because of he was holding out for a contract, never got one. But getting off to a good start. 37 plate appearances, 3 home runs, 10 RBI. I think he has a grand slam, so that inflates his RBI total. Look, he's got a .455 BABIP, so that contributes to his .382 batting average. But while he's hot, I think he's, a decent fill-in, especially in five outfielder leagues. I'll throw out another one for you, and I think you like this one based on your comments on your AMA. Alex Kirilloff, finally healthy, first base outfield eligible for the Twins, getting off to a good start, but hey, are we replacing one injury prone player with another? But look, we're kind of talking streaming here in a way. So I think he might be a decent play. Has only a 10% K rate. I know that that's going to go up, but again, .417 BABIP and a .385 batting average. How about Connor Joe? Connor Joe is interesting. Leading off for the Pittsburgh Pirates, .323 batting average, .981 OPS. But the thing to notice about him is April is his best month if you look at his career stats, right? And April, he's batting .271 with an .873 OPS. The rest of the months over his career, he's batting between .230 to .250. So maybe, you might want to keep him just for the month of April, especially since he's batting leading off. Then maybe then just, drop him.
I'll do you one better, Joe. We'll actually start with Connor Joe. Mm-hmm. And the real thing to notice about Connor Joe is that the Pirates started the season against five consecutive left-handed starting pitchers.
Mm.
And he lost five consecutive times.
Yeah.
Since then, he sat in two of the last five because they were all against righties. Mm-hmm. Now, he did bat fifth and third in there, but Connor Joe's a righty. He's always been better against left-handed pitching. He's on this team to be a guy to plug in against left-handed pitching. He's seeing maybe a little bit of extra time right now, but there's other guys on this roster who could easily jump in for him in the outfield if they wanted to. Edward Olivares is on this team. Connor Joe is he's a guy that you can stream against lefties. That's what he is and what he's always has been. Right. So I'm not interested in Connor Joe. He's like a DFS one day play against bad lefties. Right. So Michael Conforto, we'll talk about that a little bit too. So with Michael Conforto, it's not entirely dissimilar. The Giants have only seen one left-handed starter, right? One on April Fool's Day. The rest has all been righties. And Michael Conforto is a guy, I mean, he's always living in this ranking range of like 120 to 180. And while that sounds like a really, really big range, the difference between guys in that range isn't much, especially the corner outfield types, right? Guys with power. Conforto can be a little bit better on the ratio side, especially in OBP. His batting average has not been good the last couple of years. See, one of the reasons Conforto had such a hard time getting a contract is because he was not good in 2021, right? I mean, he was like, okay. His WRC plus was fine, but the guy slugged 384. And the year he came back and last year, and what did he do? He slugged 384 again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yep. We've actually seen Conforto go on hot streaks like this. We actually saw it like 7 or 8 times last season. Like this exact type of streak. They did not usually last very long, about 3 weeks or so. And then he really dipped hard.
Right.
Like he had these, I mean, it was a very, I used to call them heartbeat hitters. These guys that would go way up fast, then way down fast. That's kind of what Conforto has looked like. But again, is he a streamable outfielder with some pop? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he especially good against right-handed pitching? Yeah. Is he someone that I think is like unlocked something new? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. None of us have any idea. It's been 37 plate appearances coming into Sunday's action. So do I expect him to keep a high batting average? No. Right. No. He has good ratios, but not a great batting average. A lot of that is because he does hit a fair amount of fly balls, and he actually doesn't. He's pulling the ball a bit early on. Now that a 52% pull rate doesn't mean a whole lot with very few batted balls, but throughout his career, he hits a lot of stuff like up the middle. Mm-hmm. And that means it's very hard to hit as many home runs as he used to. And I don't know if I don't think he's going to be a 30 home run hitter again, like he was in 2017 through 2019. I don't think he's going to be a 250 to 70 hitter. I mean, maybe 250, but 270, that's probably out. He's fine. He's a fine back end outfielder who you will probably replace when he gets cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
as
is
you,
fine.
As you should. As you
There's
should.
Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Just don't think it's more than it is. Don't right. cut somebody good for Michael Conforto.
Right.
Right. Cut the guy, like the Eloy Jimenez's of the world were always droppable for Michael Conforto because you needed somebody, right? Because you needed someone to fill a gap. That's fine. Right. But yeah, whatever. Alex Kirilloff is the one I'm a little bit excited about. He has a great minor league pedigree. He was a highly touted prospect. He just can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're right. You are kind of trading with Michael Conforto. You are sort of, if you're using him to sub in for someone who's injury prone, you're bringing in another guy who's injury prone.
Like right? Luis Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's worth noting that Kirilloff is seeing full time because the Twins have played like 6 or 7 consecutive right-handed pitchers, right? Like that'll get Kirilloff in the lineup and batting high. What I'm curious about is what happens when the Twins play a couple lefties in a row, right? Now, we knew they were going to play a lot of righties in a row. That was actually something I was talking about last week. It was like, hey, look, Matt Wallner and Edward Julian and Max Kepler and now Alex Kirilloff. These are guys to look at for a week or two while they face mostly right-handed pitching. But when left-handed pitching comes, we might see the production dip and we might see Kirilloff especially get benched, right? For someone like Kyle Farmer. Or, you know, they'll find a way to get Manuel Margot into the lineup or something, right? Because Kirilloff is mostly positionless. He's not a good fielder really at any position. Mm-hmm. But for now, right? Yeah, you can go for it. Sure. Sure. Like there is upside, but you know, it's mostly against right-handed pitching.
Right. So we also talked about Trevor Story. How about middle infielder replacements? How am I going to get you to give your seal of approval on Blaze Alexander? I mean, Geraldo Perdomo injured, right? Jordan Lawler, highly regarded shortstop prospect for the Diamondbacks, is hurt. And in the minor leagues, Blaze Alexander now has kind of a path to almost everyday playing time, right? Unfortunately, batting all over the place, batting 6th, batting 2nd, batting 9th. What's it going to take, Scott? Blaze Alexander.
You probably didn't know this was going to transition quite so well, but guess how many lefties the Diamondbacks have played?
What?
How 6. Many?
6.
6 of the 10 starting pitchers they've faced are left-handed. Mm. Guess how many times Blaze Alexander has sat this season? 4 against each right-handed starter. Does that mean that's going to keep happening? So prior to Perdomo being injured, my big fear was that Blaze Alexander was going to completely lose playing time when Randall Grichuk came back, right? But Perdomo hasn't actually played since Friday. So guess what? Blaze Alexander got into the lineup two times, but importantly, not against the righty. Hmm. Who played shortstop against the righty? Jace Peterson sitting on that bench. Is he all that good? No, but also quite frankly, I'm not that excited about Blaze Alexander, even as a full-time player. I don't think you're going to get ratios that you want. This isn't a guy with necessarily plus power or a guy with necessarily plus speed. There's not a whole lot of juice to squeeze out of this orange. And more importantly, I have to feel like he's he's been on the large side of a platoon so far. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced his position is all that much better. Right. Again, it's hard to say because there's been four right-handed pitchers that the Diamondbacks have faced, and they sat Blaze against every one of them. And one of them, Perdomo, was already out. That was on Friday. They did not put Blaze in that game. Right. So until I see a couple starts against righties consecutively, I'm not ready to call Blaze full time yet. I know they say he's going to get the most starts, but you're mostly going to face righties.
Right.
So I need to see him actually play against right-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. So
also has a 35% K rate, so far. And again, it's only
15 teamers. Sure. Yeah, you're going after anything that's mm-hmm. right. But this isn't Blaze isn't a guy. It's not like he set the world on fire in AAA last year.
Right.
He did have a great WRC plus, right? It was, not great. It was 16. That's good. Right. But it was 73 games, 8 home runs.
Right.
You can functionally double that to get a full season. So if you just said he'll be exactly as good in AAA as he was in the majors, you're talking about 16 home runs and 4 stolen bases.
Hmm. I think I'd rather Mason Wynn. No. How about Mason Wynn from the Cardinals? I mean, getting off to a decent start, hasn't walked, but good K rate. BABIP 381, so that's contributing to his 333 batting average, but he's got a pretty good pedigree in the minor leagues, hit 18 homers and stole 17 bases in 105 games for the St. Louis Cardinal AAA affiliate, and he's their everyday shortstop. He's the Cardinals.
We're cooking with gas, Joe. Now we're talking about Wynn's rank as a prospect overall is usually somewhere most people put him somewhere in the top 50, 25, 30, maybe 40. That's about where Blaze Alexander ranks in the Diamondback system, right? When we're talking about different caliber of prospect, I'm talking about significantly different caliber of prospect. When we're talking about Mason Wynn, Mason Wynn is a guy who last season, 105 games in AAA, 18 home runs, 17 stolen bases. This is a guy with pop and speed, good bat to ball skills. Even in his, quite frankly, dismal first trip in the major leagues, 137 plate appearances with a 29 WRC plus. I keep talking about WRC plus. That means 100 is average. Every point you are from 100 is percentage better or worse than average. He was 29. So he was 71% worse than average last season as a batter, right? That's really bad. But it wasn't like he was striking out. It was just a lot of really bad contact, right? He only struck out 19% of the time. He walked 7.3% of the time. It wasn't necessarily that he can't hit major league stuff. He just can't hit it very hard, right? And he hit a lot. I mean, he had a lot of ground balls, 46.9%. I mean, it could have been worse, but he didn't pull hardly anything. It was just a lot of weak contact, right? And I think that can get better. Right. It actually hasn't so far. He has a 21.7% hard hit rate. But to be clear, that's 23 batted balls.
Right.
23 batted balls. That's nothing.
Right.
That's a week. Right. Because that's what we've seen. But Mason Wynn is somebody I think who could really be, if he had a full season, I think this is a guy who could go 15 home runs, 20 stolen bases. The ratios won't be great. Right. Don't get me wrong. I don't think, I don't think he'll hit 260. I don't think he'll have an OBP better than 310, but he could be very useful for fantasy purposes simply because he's got some power and speed, right? This is a significantly better option than Blaze Alexander, and he's going to play every day.
Right. And I still like Zach Neto, but we've spoken about him in previous episodes, so we don't have to really delve into him too much. But how about when you talk, and just a sidebar here, since we're talking middle infielders, Francisco Lindor, 0-5 on Saturday, batting 0.32 with an 0.32 slug. And Look, the guy hit 30 home runs, stole over, what do you have? 31 home runs, 31 stolen bases last season. If you look at his career, I mean, his first half, he's batting 25 points higher in the second half as opposed to the first half. And that's a really large sample. So I'm not worried about him. But if you listen to New York sports talk radio, there's a lot of excitement about the way the Yankees have gotten off to a start. But there's also some concern about the start that the Mets have gotten off to. And the one thing that I noticed, I think the Mets got rained out this week, or maybe even two straight rainouts. And Lindor was like, oh, you know, it's good, we could reset. And that was like after three or four games. So what are you resetting? I mean, are things that bad in Metland that you need to reset? Look, I mean, obviously a good example of panicking. Like if someone's looking to say, hey, you know, I've had enough of Lindor. I mean, this is a guy that I know he did the 31-31 last season, and it'd be tough to repeat, but he's definitely a 25-15 or a 25-20 type of guy.
Yeah. So Lindor's coming off the worst spring of his entire career. Right. He 61 spring plate appearances. He hit 145.
And it continues.
And he's currently, it's not good. That we call it a slump. Guys have them from time to time. Lindor's had them from time to time, right? He actually was pretty rough in 2021 for big parts of the season. We've seen him have slumps. We've also seen Francisco Lindor break out of those slumps and show us why he is one of the best overall shortstops in the game, right? Not necessarily for fantasy. He's a very good one, but he's not like among the best. But when you add in the glove, this is an elite shortstop in Major League Baseball. He's going to keep being like, he's not going to get benched. None of those things are going to happen.
Oh, no, no.
He's playing. I mean, the weather in New York is, I mean, it's, I think it's nicer right now, but it hasn't been great.
Right.
For the last week. This stuff's going to turn around. This is so far. I mean, if you add it to spring, which you don't really want to do, but if you add it to spring, it's about 100 bad plate appearances. That's not great, but the ones that count, it's 38. It's 38 bad plate appearances. And I expect him to turn it around in short order. And I still want to say, like, this is a 25 home run, 20 stolen base guy with decent ratios, right? Like that's what we're looking at.
Right.
And you know, he might push 100 runs scored, maybe. Just depends on how well the rest of the Mets lineups does. But yeah, this is still a really, like, you shouldn't be doing anything. You should not feel any different about him than you did the day you drafted him.
As a matter of fact, if you lost Story, maybe what you should be doing is targeting him in a trade. Maybe you can approach a disgruntled fantasy manager in your league and say, hey, you know, like, make an offer for him. I mean, you're not, hopefully the person that you'll be trading with will realize, you know, won't give Lindor away for nothing, but you might be able to get him at a little bit of a discount based on his early start.
Yeah, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, and think about it. What were you expecting from Story? Like you said earlier, you were expecting 20 homers, 20 steals. Well, that's what you're going to get from. You're going to get a little bit more than that by season's end. You're going to get, you know, at least 25 home runs, in my opinion, from Lindor, and at least 20 steals.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm feeling very negative. I'm talking about a lot of guys that I wouldn't recommend. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, same, you know, and I know there's some other hot names that have gotten added a ton in leagues like Bryce Terang. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not that excited about Bryce Terang either. Mm-hmm. Right. Let me just get all the negativity out. This is a guy who does have some speed. And the Brewers were very aggressive with him in an early series. We also saw him very much lose that job because Bryce Terang is not a great hitter. Mm-hmm. Right. That's just not what he brings to the table. I don't think he's a great replacement in fantasy unless you're in a deep league and you just need steals. And I believe Jose Caballero is available in more leagues than Terang anyway. Mm-hmm. So unless you need exactly second base, I'd probably look in that direction regardless. And Terang might be eligible at shortstop as well. So I'm not excited about Bryce Terang, but there are guys I'm kind of excited about. Right. Or at least I think that could be good, like, backup options. Like, I do like what we're seeing from Michael Garcia. Like, don't get carried away.
Hold on. Don't jump the gun.
Okay.
Oh, don't. No, but I feel that would be a good spot for us to take a break because we want to hear
guys I actually like.
Yes. Yes. That'll keep people interested in coming back for the third portion of our podcast. We're going to hear guys that Scott actually likes.
Yeah. And I'll try to go with guys. Yeah. Guys that are mostly like rostered in less than like a third or so of Yahoo or CBS leagues,
especially third baseman, right? Third base is a minefield right now. So we'll talk about all of that right after this. All right, we're back. Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. And then during the break, I calmed Scott down, you know, tried to, you know, get him to think positively, right? Get the negative thoughts out of his head. And just before we broke, he was going to tell us some players that he actually does like. And I don't know, Scott, do you want to start? Why don't we just continue? You were going to name somebody, but one guy I just wanted to mention, since we were talking middle infielders, and I believe you might have written a little blurb about him in the AMA Reddit, was Luis Garcia, who's kind of like a sleeper second baseman. I don't know about a sleeper, but somebody that, you know, isn't highly rostered. And you kind of noted that he started to get platooned. Yeah, we're talking about Luis Garcia from the Nationals.
Yeah. So this at one time was one of their better prospects. The national system has been mostly devoid of prospects for some time now. But Luis Garcia, left-handed guy. So again, last six games, the Nationals have seen four lefties. So we've seen Luis Garcia Jr. be benched, right? And hit towards the, you know, he's hitting towards the bottom of the lineup even when he plays, but he's sitting a lot right now because of how many lefties they've seen. Again, this comes and goes throughout the season. Sometimes you just catch a bunch of left-handed starters in a row. Sometimes you don't. But, you know, Luis Garcia is someone who is a little bit interesting. He's a very slap heavy hitter. He's someone who like mostly gets value in points leagues because he's not a guy that's going to hit 21 home runs, like 15 maybe in a full season. He's not a guy that's going to steal very many bases. He stole 9 last season in 122 games. I mean, I'd cap him out at 12 to 15. If he got near maybe, if they were, you know, the Nats have been quite aggressive on the base path, so maybe it's possible. He gets to 15, but it's more likely like 10 home runs, 10 stolen bases in a mostly full season. Well, maybe closer to 15. He's got some power, but what he does is slap the ball a lot, right? He hits a lot of stuff on the ground. He hits some line drives. But you know, it is a really good hit tool in that he can make a lot of contact, right? A career 17.5% strikeout rate. He's really aggressive. Like he never walks, but you know, this is someone who in points leagues, I think is someone you could look at as a stopgap if you need some middle infield help and a lot of better options aren't available. I weirdly, I'd probably rather have Orlando Arcia because he does play every day. You know, if you need speed, this is just a non-option, right? But, you know, he's someone interesting, I think, that isn't getting tossed around as much as some other names. Like, you know, by the end of the season, overall value, you know, he's not going to be that different than Bryce Turang, right? Because I don't think Turang is going to give you any help in ratios. He doesn't really have any power. He's just going to steal. And to do that, he needs to be on the field. So, yeah, I think Luis Garcia is someone, as long as you know what you're getting.
Right.
Right. That's an important distinction. You do need to know what you're getting. You know, obviously another guy who, you know, he broke his slump by going to Colorado. Ahmed Rosario is finding some playing time for the Rays because of the injuries they have in their infield. You know, I got a lot of questions about, and so I should mention that Ahmed Rosario probably still a platoon guy to some extent, but he has played against a couple righties in a row. So that's exciting between right field and shortstop. But ultimately, like I got a lot of questions about some of the minor leaguers in Tampa, like Jose Caminero, Junior Caminero. Don't get that excited yet. There's still a lot like this roster, like Curtis Meade is one of their best prospects and he's barely playing. Right. Jonathan Aranda is on the IL. He'll be back in not that long and they don't have anywhere for him to play either. So why, you know, Junior Caminero, of course, one of the top prospects in baseball, he's probably their number one overall prospect, but they're really crowded.
Think he might even be on the IL in the minors. Tell you the truth.
He's there. He's on the 7-day IL. They don't expect him to be out very long, but yeah, like in a 12-team league, you should not be holding your breath here trying to get like some juice out of that. there's not enough there. And he's actually more rostered than a lot of these guys, like Ahmed Rosario. Like, he's more rostered than Ahmed Rosario. He's more rostered than a guy I've talked about, Jose Caballero, who will be good for stolen bases. He's more rostered than, well, he's not more rostered than, but another guy to think about. I know he's off to a slow start. Colt Keith, someone I still like overall. You know, for the Tigers, he's the prospect. He's their everyday second baseman. He's someone I think you can think about. A guy that's available in about a third of leagues, Brendan Donovan. Brendan Donovan has been leading off a lot for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's very interesting. Again, he's a very slap happy hitter. He doesn't really steal. He doesn't hit a lot of home runs, but he can score a lot of runs and provide you really, really nice averages. I think that's someone you can look at. You know, if you need that fill in, he's second base and outfield eligible. Also first base if you're in Yahoo, which is kind of weird, but he can do it. I mean, there's just, I think I keep bringing it up because I get asked so much about like Blaze Alexander, but I'm like, you know, there's other guys that are probably more interesting in the middle infield who just aren't that heavily rostered. Like even at shortstop, again, Caballero, he's available at shortstop. Ahmed Rosario, also available at shortstop. You mentioned Mason Wynn. He's another guy I do like at shortstop. Like, those are all guys that I think are worthy of consideration. Zach Neto is still less than 20% of Yahoo League. Zach Neto is available. He plays every day. I don't love that he's at the bottom of the lineup, but I mean, he's certainly worth plugging in, right? And I take him over Terang. I take him over lots of, like, you know, some of these other guys. I take him over Blaze Alexander for sure. So that's it for the middle infield. For the corners is tough right now. Third base with the loss of Royce Lewis, the loss of Josh Jung. It's ugly right now, but there are guys who aren't that rostered yet who I think could be very interesting. Chief among them, JD Davis. JD Davis playing every day for the A's. He's got a ton of power and he can hit for some batting average, even though he strikes out a lot just because he hits the ball so hard. So that's someone you can look at. I'm sort of interested to see what Michael Bush is doing, how often he'll get to play. He's over in, you know, he's over in Chicagoland. He's playing for the Cubs. He was one of the pickups they got from the Dodgers. I think he's very interesting. He's got some pop, he's got some contact ability. So I think he's someone you could plug in. Like, there's exciting players out there. Obviously, they're not going to replace a Royce Lewis. They're not going to replace a Josh Jung, but they are guys that you can use in short spurts to really get something out of that spot, especially if what you needed was power. I think JD Davis is a great ad for anyone in need of power. He should be out there in most leagues. And again, I like him more than like Ezekiel Duran, who's actually replacing him. I like him more than Yoan Moncada. I like him more than a lot of those guys.
All right. So we ran into some technical difficulties at the end of our podcast, and we ended a bit prematurely, but at least Scott got a chance to tell you about some of the players that he likes. Apologize for the inconvenience and appreciate you tuning in. And remember, you could follow me at Joe Galina, follow Scott Chu at If the Chew Fits. And remember, we always like to say, we hope that all of your fantasies become realities. And we'll see you next time.